Hey, everyone. Welcome to Utter Talk. I'm Karen Herring from the B Team, and I'm here with my regular co-host, Roisin McManus.
Hey, guys.
And Joel Cordy.
Hey, guys. Oh, and Karen, you should also probably introduce your dog.
And that's Ian.
Okay. I met Bean.
Was Bean really, co-host. Really good until we hit go.
I met Bean, finally.
Oh, yeah, you did?
I met Bean a couple weeks ago. Yep, I saw Karen's apartment.
How was Bean?
Bean is great. We played with this. I hesitate to call it a ball, but it was like this little rubber round thing that was broken. And I kept throwing it up in the air, and Bean was just snatching it out of the air. And Karen was like, oh, I didn't know he could do that. Right? Isn't that what happened? Okay. So
I don't usually throw the toys up, but usually just like throw them far.
But he was really good at it, and I was shocked by it because it seemed like you guys, you know, it seemed like that was something that Bean regularly practices.
Nope.
Because his skill level was so high. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you. I interrupted your introduction.
That's totally fine. I mean, this is like, if people that are listening will be confused.
Yeah.
if this podcast is about stuttering or about dogs.
It's about both. No, it's mostly about stuttering.
We haven't done a B team in way, way, way too long. So we're going to sort of have a casual, laid back one per the usual.
Yeah, what a shocker. what a change of pace this is.
Roisin, it sounded like there was some things going on with you. Do you want to talk about it?
I'm basically just blocking a lot, and that's not anything, you know, that we or our listeners haven't heard before, but for the past few weeks or so, I've almost been feeling like a different stutterer, because I've been having blocks where like I like truly feel like I cannot move through them, and that's new for me. So I've been trying to deal with that, and it hasn't been easy.
So giving a little context. For me, just because it has been a while since we've hung out, I guess it hasn't been that long because we were all in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of July. But I know, you know, sometimes stuttering changes all the time, but has it like coincided with your time off from work at all, or is it just sort of been random?
I think it's like it's sort of has, but I don't think it's necessarily related to that. Like I have a lot of things that are changing. Over the past month and a half, I had a potential job change that sort of fell through. yeah, it's a long story, but our hostel was going to open up a new ER, and I was going to transfer there, but then the deal for the hospital fell through. And I'm moving soon.
What?
So I have like a couple of things to Karen. To
what?
I'm moving to Astoria to my own place, which is actually a good thing. But
that's really, really great.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So is Sam on a move too?
The reason I'm moving actually is that she is going to be moving back to Jersey to save up for like another big move.
Gotcha.
And I feel like it's just kind of time for me to have my own place.
Just a little context for the listeners. Sam is Roisin's roommate, and her name's Sam Januso. She's a friend of the show, and she also stutters too.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So I think that the increased stuttering is happening in this context of just change. It's mostly good change. But I just think, and I also went to Greece a few weeks ago to meet my boyfriend's family. And I think that there was some stress around that.
Yeah. I feel like you've had like a ton of changes and stresses in your life, even if they're good stresses.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks that when you go through changes that like, or for me, it's a pattern where when I go through change, like my stuttering feels different, whether I'm stuttering less or stuttering more. And it makes it harder because you have to like, so if I'm like training with this new group of staff for the new ER, then I'm like stuttering in a different way than I'm used to. Then I have to like develop a whole, like it feels like a whole different like, like plan to handle it in that moment when I'm also like trying to handle just the chains of everything else. So it's felt overwhelming to me. And I've definitely had a few days where I had an interesting day last week at work. I was working 3 days in a row, and the first day I felt like I was avoiding speaking to my coworkers. Like every time I talked, I was like blocking and like feeling really, really bad about that. And I felt like I was sort of like very quickly regressing. And I came home and was like, I really don't want to go back in the morning. Obviously, I did. And then the next day I had like a very, very different day, which was like actually a very positive day. So it's been like very up and down, based on speech, which is strange, but.
Wow.
Have you had blocks in your speech in the past, or is this like new?
I think that my like most common speech pattern is repetitions.
Mm-hmm.
That has always been, but I know there are a few times in my life when I felt like those repetitions almost like feel like blocks because I can't go through them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a long time since it's felt like they're happening consistently, blocks. So I think it's a new thing, kind of. Mm-hmm.
This is David Seidler. I'm a stutterer. And this is Stutter Talk.
This is David Mitchell. I'm the author of the book Black Screen and a patron of the British Standard Association. And you are listening to Stutter Talk.
I can for sure relate to the feeling of like almost feeling like you're slipping back down the like acceptance road.
Yeah,
like it doesn't like it's so much work to feel okay with your speech, and then like having a day or two where it's just really, really hard, and then sort of like not wanting to talk or to put yourself in those situations.
Yeah, I'm actually experiencing a little stuttering renaissance myself. Does that make sense? Renaissance? Anyway.
I don't know what it meant, but I thought this sounded really nice.
I'll have to maybe look that up. If it makes sense, leave it in the show. If not, no. I'll probably just leave it in at this point. Rosh Hashin, I'm trying really hard to, it's really easy to go to that place where you just, like, I'm hearing you, and then my mind sort of wants to do that normal human thing where I just tell a story or something about myself that is maybe relating to your struggle, but I'm kind of hesitant to do that because I just really want to hear what you're saying. Now here's the part where I tell the thing about myself.
Bye.
Oh my goodness. I was just hearing you, and I've been struggling more lately, and I feel like when I get into these long blocks or prolonged stutters, it seems like for me it goes back to this desire to be fluent, where if I'm stuttering on one sound for a long period of time, sometimes I just have to tell myself, like, dude, stop trying so hard to be fluent. You have to let go a little bit and be willing to stutter. And even stutter on purpose. And, you know, it sounds so crazy, right, when we're stuttering for, like, this long period of time and we're struggling, that maybe one of the things we could help is giving up that desire to say the word fluently when, you know, the struggles are always already so obvious. But I don't know. I feel like I've been experiencing like sort of a slice of what you're describing, and that's been one thing that's been sort of helpful, I guess.
But I do think that there's a difference between being okay with stuttering and being okay with fake stuttering when it feels easy, and yeah. then like having to struggle.
Yeah, there's such a difference, especially when it's when it feels really hard, and it is hard, and you just don't know. There's just it seems impossible to say the sound. It's like there's just.
I mean, it's true that like it's easy to be like, well, you shouldn't have to be okay with struggling, and that's and I wish that that was true, but we kind of do have to be okay with struggling. Unless we want to just like struggle more. Like I'm not really sure. I just don't like when I'm having a bad day, I'm like, should I just be like going back to speech therapy, or should I be like just trying to like move and exist like through this? I feel like it has to be the second one for me, just because I've already had therapy and had like all of those interventions. I'm not sure, but I suspect that like I will be that it could help me to stop like fighting against the idea of being a person who struggles at this time.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like when you ask yourself like, oh, should I go to speech therapy? Cause that's something, I guess I don't really think about that anymore, but I used to think about it a lot, but I think for you or for me, it's just creating some space to try to think about it more, you know? So it's like, if you talked about, you know, I think that us talking about it right now is helpful, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that lots of things like that are helpful, you know, but I think that this, there's no like, I guess what I'm trying to say is like you internally like have all of the things that you need, you know?
I hope so. I just have to like somehow like call upon what I also think that part of it is that like stuttering is so variable that like you'll be struggling and feeling you're having a hard time and then it will somehow pass. Not necessarily like because I've used or like, or like employed anything.
Yeah.
It will just change.
Yeah. And that's funny because then it's just sort of random. You didn't really do anything to deserve it, but that's right. The nature of the disorder. So
the disorder is variable.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking a lot about the whole struggling piece. And I know that, I mean, we've talked about this before, and I still am not okay with it. And I don't think I ever completely will be, because struggling isn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
Being someone that, like, I work with stuttering all the time, I feel like I'm very, very okay stuttering in front of clients or parents or things like that. But I still have this shame piece when I struggle in front of them. I should be past that.
Mm.
Even though we don't get past that, it's part of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I almost feel like it's something that I was like taught or trained to think that if I like being able to control my stuttering or manage it is being able to be in control 100% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which just isn't fair.
Right. And it's not necessarily possible.
No.
For people who's, yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's like I seem to be okay with stuttering or blocking for like a couple seconds, and then once it gets longer than that, I don't think I can ever be 100% comfortable with it happening for, you know, a long period of time. But I think then always what's really useful is to emulate a block that's, you know, 5 seconds long, and then remember that is okay. You know, I might not be comfortable with it, but you know, I don't have to feel bad about it, or I probably still will a little.
Yeah. And I guess if you can voluntarily do it, because the biggest thing for me about blocking is that, like, the most painful thing about it is that I feel like if I'm just stuttering and moving forward and, you know, having disfluency, then it sounds different, but I still feel present. I feel fine. But when I have a really hard block, it's so hard to stay present.
Mm-hmm.
And like stay there with the person and like stay there with the idea you're trying to express. I feel like I kind of like zoom out and then have to zoom back in, because I feel so out of control. And if you're doing that on purpose and it's not necessarily real, then you can just like teach yourself, like, I can like stutter for that much time and stay here.
I know exactly what you mean. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
When it starts
but it definitely takes, courage to do that on purpose, I think.
Yeah. Where it becomes like especially distracting to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can't focus on the communication or really enjoy it either.
Mm-hmm. And then I notice that I start to group like everyone in the same group as like people who are judging me. Like when I have those days when I'm stuttering a lot, I start to just like tell myself that like everyone around me is like in the same camp and they're against me. Which is like kind of delusional. It is delusional. That sucks.
Yeah.
This is kind of related. I feel like I want to tell you guys this because I think you guys will be able to relate to it. Karen and I were at fellow stutterer and friend Crystal Kubart's wedding a couple weekends ago in New York. And right when we walked in, one of the first people I saw started talking to was Carl Herder. And it's funny because like I love Carl and I haven't seen him and talked to him face to face in a while. And we started talking and I started like really blocking a lot. And it's so funny, like talking to somebody like Carl, because, you know, he knows just a ton about stuttering and just, you know, and he works with people who stutter all the time. But in my head, I'm thinking like, okay, like there's this weird pride thing where like I haven't talked to Carl in forever. And I'm like, I know, you know, he could say, you know, I don't know this for sure, but like if I was Carl, you know, I would be a little bit interested in my stuttering, you know. It's like I haven't seen Joel in years. You know, I would think like, you know, wow, he's struggling a lot. You know, all this is going inside my head while I'm talking to Carl for the first time. And we're like talking, you know, we're like having, you know, exchanging pleasantries. But then, you know, after a few minutes, it's like, okay, like you stutter. Carl knows you stutter. Just, you know, stop thinking about all these silly things that don't matter and just enjoy talking to Carl. Mm-hmm. And you know, but there's something about that thing where if you're stuttering a lot and it's like you feel like you shouldn't be, like, you know, you know better or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you feel sort of silly about it. But it's like you don't know better. You stutter, and you know you happen to be stuttering at that moment, or at least that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I don't know. Does that, like? Did you guys appreciate that story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of it's that thing where it's like all this stuff goes on in your head as a person who stutters and. It's sort of ridiculous, and it's always interesting and funny to share it with others.
Yeah, it like hijacks us.
Hi, what?
At times. Hijacks
oh,
us.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Hijacks our thoughts.
I don't know.
No, like
I'm
that.
Feeling stupid. Like I just like injected this weirdness into the show. That
no.
I mean, it doesn't. It kind of relates. I don't know.
It does.
Yeah,
Carl will get a kick out of it.
I think it for sure does, and I think it goes back to sort of the idea that like we, some part of our brain knows that most people actually don't care and probably aren't thinking about it. But there's this like ingrained part of us that just fears and makes up what other people think.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder if that's like true, if that's like learned behavior from the past, like from being kids and having reactions to us, or if that's like a truly evolutionary response to being different.
Or is the hat just human nature that everyone does?
Huh.
That like they want to fit in and they feel this need and they, I don't know, they're concerned what everyone else thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm having a tough time processing all of this. But I think I'm sort of wrapping my head around it a little bit.
Joel.
I kind of want to get back to Roisin a little bit though. I don't know. You seem like you're in better spirits a little bit now after talking about this for a while.
Yeah, it helps to. I mean, it's very obvious that what I'm going to say, but it just really helps to talk to other people who stutter and sort of like try and hash it out. Or just like hear other people's stories. And it's not something that like is taking over my like life right now, like how it used to. Like I'm not thinking about it all day, every day. But I'm, it can just, I think that it's just important to remind myself like over and over again that like I can still be happy if I'm stuttering a lot. And I think sometimes I assume like if I'm stuttering a lot, if I'm blocking a lot, like I should be having some kind of crisis, or like be very sad and be trying to fix it. And I'm trying to, especially talking to you guys and just talking to other people about it, I'm trying to have it be okay. If I'm blocking, I don't know.
I also think it's fine, like, to feel not okay.
Yeah. I mean, basically what I'm saying, if I'm having a hard day, like, just acknowledging that, like speaking today was hard. And I'm exhausted and I'm frustrated, but I'm not, like, in, like, but I don't have to go to an incredibly dark place.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Bean, thanks, Bean.
I ran over his toe by mistake.
That's horrible.
It was a mistake. I mean, he's fine.
So that bark was warranted.
Yeah,
that bark was like you just rolled over my foot.
That was totally legitimate. Like, we can't be mad about that.
No, that was my fault.
Mm-hmm. He was communicating with you.
Yeah. Please do not run over
my foot. Don't do that anymore.
That really hurt.
How's the baby, Joel?
Well, he is, he's in there.
it's happening.
I found myself sort of, for some reason, I couldn't explain to Kelly why, but I found myself in his room last week, and I was, we somehow have some clothes for him. Well, actually, some of the clothes we've gotten for him and some of the other clothes we've gotten from other people. But I was just sort of like looking at his clothes and I was like, wow, like, cause you know, the clothes are the baby shaped clothes. So if you're looking at the baby shaped clothes, it obviously,
You're having a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is she due?
She's due December 14th.
December.
A Sagittarius baby.
Oh, I actually haven't looked into that yet. Oh, but
that'll be fun.
Is that okay? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What are the pros and the cons?
Well, I love the Sagittarius because Gemini and Sagittarius are very compatible.
Okay.
But you know, they're like optimistic. They love traveling and kind of being like a free, like wanderer. And they're very like happy and smart and interested in the truth and like injustice.
Okay.
Supposedly. And yeah.
That's exciting.
Be good.
So, do you have any uttering concerns about being a dad?
It's so funny. Like, sometimes I think, I mean, I guess I hope our kid doesn't stutter, but sometimes I think it's just, I don't know, to me it's like, of all of the things someone could have, I mean, it does suck stuttering when you're a kid, for sure. But like, as I've gotten older, the thing that I think is so awesome about stuttering is it's not an obstacle that, it's very, very challenging, but it's not something that has to prevent you from doing anything. Really, like it doesn't have to. So it's like this perfect attribute that can shape you and make you stronger and make you empathetic. That's the huge thing, is it can make you empathetic. So in that way, I think it's such a positive thing for someone to experience over time. But it does suck, but it does just make you, it can really help you. So I think that if my son stutters, you know, I'll definitely feel bad for him, because I know, like, it's going to result in some, you know, heartache and definitely some really crappy situations. But I know that, you know, I'll be here for him, and that there really is a lot of positive that comes out of being a person who stutters, even though a lot of the time it seems like it really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll have like a lot of aunties and uncles who stutter.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. He'll be the cool kid then.
I was talking to one of my client's moms, and her dad stutters, and she was saying when she was young, she just like assumed that's how all dads talked. And I thought that was so cool that like it wasn't something that she like learned about. It was just like there from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like not a thing. It was just like, yeah, that's how he talks.
Interesting.
It's interesting. I have a nephew who's like 2.5 years old now, and I can start to tell he's noticing that I talk a little bit differently. Like he's just kind of like, he's just like, it's a little confusing to him, or maybe not confusing, but he's just like noticing it by his facial expression. He's really smart and just like, huh, what just happened there with Uncle Joel? You know, not like judging or anything, you know, just right. Noticing that the way that I just spoke was different than other people, or at mm-hmm. least that's my impression. I don't know what's going on in that 2.5-year-old head of his. So I don't know. Well, I should probably get to work.
It was nice to spend time with you guys again.
Yeah.
It felt really good.
Mm-hmm. It felt really good.
Mm-hmm. I like to I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Roisin, but I felt like at the beginning of the episode, there was this a little bit of an element where maybe you were thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're thinking like, oh, do I really just want to like talk about how I'm stuttering more? But mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you did, mm. you know, because it'd be easy to just be like, oh, I don't really want to, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you feel like any hesitancy or anything?
I think I did. Okay. And I definitely feel like when I run the NSA group also, I kind of feel a similar thing sometimes where like, I don't want to bring, my personal stuff to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really silly. So I'm happy I did, though. It helps.
Good.
It helps.
All right, Care Bear.
Care Bear, take us out.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
All right. Well, that was a very, very relaxed B team. I'm curious to learn what of that stays and what of that gets cut.
That'll all stay.
But it was really nice to talk to you guys. And if you want to listen to more Sitter Talk episodes, you can go to sittertalk.com. And hopefully we'll do this again in like a few weeks.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye.